I hear as I drink my beer.
Okay.
Well, I will feel no fear.
I mean, I was going to do a theme song, but it seems like you have a new one brewing.
Yeah. Well, I'm saving it for Helpful Snowball 2013, part three?
Part two. I do have that ready.
Oh.
We could make some announcements about it.
Oh, boy.
Today.
Yeah.
Let's do a theme song and then get into it for real.
Holler.
Somebody should talk about two times.
Foolish.
Talk about bum wine, yeah.
All right.
You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bum thugs in Holly and Homer.
Hello, everyone. I have a guest.
Hey.
His name is Ian.
Hey, everybody.
He's my guest. Land. He's my guest. Put our podcast to the test. We have podcasts and then... Okay.
Yeah, you got to have your rhyme ready to go. Like, you can't just be like, what rhymes with podcast?
Ah! No, you can do that.
Yeah.
Watch. Give me another song.
Let's see. I'll go with Be a Man. From Mulan.
Be a man. Put your girl stuff in a can. You won't need it because you're a man now and you just have big balls. Have big balls. Have big penis. And you swing it all over the place. And who cares about the rhymes because you don't need them. You're a man.
You're a man.
Ta-da. See?
Yeah.
Rhyming is overrated.
I was trying to go for a medley so you could just transition into the Be a Man song from Mulan.
I don't actually know that song.
Oh.
I've never seen this film. Here's what I understand.
Uh-huh.
It's about an Asian transgender.
Yes.
Who probably fights in a war that's very G-rated.
Also, Eddie Murphy is a dragon.
Oh, okay. I was like, why is there a black man in whatever century Japan that is?
China.
Is it Japan?
It's China.
China?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never seen the movie.
They were invaded by Mongolians, I think.
From Mongolia.
Yep.
I see. Well, okay.
We're here on the show.
Is there other things I need to know about Mulan?
Well, no, not really.
There's a long list of Disney movies I never saw.
All right.
Mulan.
Okay.
The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, not worth it.
Hercules.
Did you watch this show with Kevin Sorbo?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you don't need to see the Disney film then.
The Princess and the Frog.
I don't think anybody's seen that.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Is that the movie?
I think I thought that was a ride.
Is it both?
I don't know.
Over at Poon Master Flex.
Poon Master Flex is supposed to be
is
our
Mr.
fact checker.
Is Mr. Toad's Wild Ride a movie, a ride, a sexual innuendo, or all three?
Make sure you look at UrbanDictionary.com. They're our sponsor today.
It's all three? Oh, so there's a movie called Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Mm.
And does he drive like an old clickety-clack car, like what Goofy drove?
He drives some kind of like Model T looking thing.
Yeah, he was driving a Model T in like 1985.
Weren't the wheels of those made of like wood?
I have no idea.
Or metal or something like that?
I mean, I haven't even seen Mulan. Mm. I thought she was Japanese, for God's sake. What do I know about materials?
This, by the way, is the Helpful History cast.
Yeah. Take that, Dan Carlin, you fuck.
Yeah.
You piece of shit.
Softcore history where you see some boobs but not any genitals.
Yeah, this is real hardcore history.
There'll be like dry humping, but not really. Genitals don't really line up. So it's kind of like you're fucking someone's belly button really hard. And there's going to be saxophone music.
And then it's history related. So you're
right.
In town.
I am
oh,
in
we
town.
Did. We had a... Thanks-tacular Thanksgiving.
Thanks-tacular Thanksgiving.
And you were thinking about we should rate the dishes.
Thanksgiving foods, yes.
Now, I have two dishes in particular I really wanted to talk about.
Okay.
That I thought were not good.
All right.
Should we start at the bottom?
Yeah, let's start at the bottom. Let's go all the way up.
Okay, the worst was the, and I was partially responsible for it, but not really, I would say was pumpkin ice cream.
Yes.
Our mom has, okay, last 2 years, our mom has decided to, like, get into homemade ice cream, which, like, when she busts it out, I'm always like, this is a good idea. Why don't I do this? It's so simple. And then I realize why when I taste it.
Yeah.
Because it's not very good. Now, last Christmas was when she made a famously bad rose water ice cream.
Oh, right.
That smelled like an old woman had died in the kitchen and smashed her bottle of perfume.
It's, if you wanted the Mesa Bear with flowers, this is what you would make.
Like, you, I ate one bite and my eyes were watering. Like, it was not bad. It was inedible.
it was like unsmellable too. Like, you could just, actually it was kind of fine if you just smelled it from a distance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was fine if you smelled it from a distance and didn't think about it as a food.
Right.
And then you would be okay.
Like, it smelled really strong, too. You're like, no, I'm not going to eat that.
Yeah, it was like biting into a bar of soap.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that it exists, I think, has made my life a little worse.
It's like you can't use rose water in anything now, because it'll be like, oh, I'll just go back to this ice cream.
The other thing is, I don't know what's going on with our ice cream maker. But it does not make ice cream that is an ice cream consistency.
No, it really makes it almost like, it's not even like frozen yogurt consistency.
No.
It's kind of just like almost a Slurpee.
Yeah.
She makes really pumpkin Slurpees or rosewater Slurpees.
Yeah, and I'm not really sure why. I don't know how to use an ice cream maker. All I know is we're doing it wrong.
There's something about, like, it's just all wrong. Like, it never comes out quite right.
No.
It comes out at the end of the night when everyone's all drunk. I kind of imagine that maybe what needs to happen is it needs to be chilled.
I think you have to stir it and then put it back in the freezer.
Yeah, that seems to be like an important step that always gets skipped.
I was using the last of my phone's battery to see what Alton Brown had to say on the subject. And he seemed to be suggesting that you make it, stir it, then refreeze it.
That seems to make sense. That would explain a lot of why it's sort of like Slurpee consistency rather than...
Yeah.
Or kind of like it becomes a slush.
Yeah.
But not a cold slush. It's a room temperature slush.
Well, and we watched some cooking shows.
A sludge, really.
And one of these cooking shows, you know, they'll add like these handicaps to the cooking. And one of them is like they have this ice cream maker. It's like a plastic ball.
Right.
And it's supposed to be for kids, you know, and they would kick it around or throw it around and then it turns into ice cream. And I feel like when they do it on the show, they're like shaking it like crazy and that somehow makes it ice cream. But when we make it at our mom, she's like, no, you have to stir it extremely slowly. And whenever she would turn her back, I would go faster because I was like, I don't think this is working.
Somehow this doesn't work at all.
It didn't seem to be working, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that was the worst. It's also a strange thing that I'll say, like in a long-term history bit of, I'm now lactose intolerant.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I never eat the ice cream.
Oh, okay.
But not the kind of thing that she would have done when we were kids, and I could have appreciated ice cream.
This is, I guess, explains why, you know, when you had those like milk stout beers,
yes,
you nearly crapped yourself.
That's how I discovered this.
You discovered your lactose intolerance via beer.
That's right.
That's okay. It happens. It happens to some of us.
Well, I guess it's because I didn't really eat much cereal in the morning, right? Like, just didn't have a taste for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really eat that much ice cream either.
Yeah.
And so there's not that many times where I have milk products that I encounter otherwise.
Is this like, oh, okay.
As you know.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next worst, I would say, was the cornbread that I made.
Yeah, the cornbread. I'm not sure exactly how to describe what was wrong with it, but I would kind of guess soap.
Yeah, it was almost like it didn't taste like anything, but it tasted like something. But the something that it tasted like was not cornbread.
Definitely not cornbread.
It was bad.
It's really hard to describe it as anything but bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Even though it was like, it didn't taste rotten.
No.
It didn't taste like chemical. It just tasted kind of almost like nothing but bad.
Mm.
It's gross.
I don't know. It had kind of like a soapy aftertaste.
It was a colossal disappointment.
I mean, do you think you could recreate that? Like if you got together in the lab?
I think so.
The Helpful Snow Lab.
I think I could, yeah. I think I could take the same steps and see...
If you could recreate this.
Yeah, and if I would get the same result.
It's like you're going through the scientific method to see if you could recreate shitty cornbread.
I know. Yeah.
Not to say if you could recreate good cornbread, but like the really shitty cornbread.
I did it. Success, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a bunch of cornbread.
It's not like you're the Flash and trying to recreate the speed formula. You're trying to recreate a formula like burns you horribly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
That was bad.
That was pretty rough. That cornbread was not. I think I ate about half of one cornbread and yeah. You know, threw the rest away.
I ate the whole thing, but mostly out of curiosity.
Yeah, just trying to figure out what's wrong with it.
Yeah, and like a morbid, like a post-mortem of cornbread. Like, what went wrong?
It's really like eating one of your murder victims.
Yeah, well, you know, you want to figure out what happened because you're like, lest we forget.
Hopefully, so it's really like eating a 9/11 victim, which right. I actually heard from somebody like who, you know, who had kind of lived around New York at the time.
Uh-huh.
That one of those sort of rarely talked about parts in there was that there's sort of there were body parts
just
like
around.
After 9/11, just kind of around. Yeah, like there'd be fingers or things around.
This sounds so unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a reliable source?
It seems like one of those urban legend kind of things. Like,
yeah.
So it seems like, but it wouldn't make sense. Like if you weren't that far away from the World Trade Center, like you were just, you know, a couple of like maybe like a block or so away, that there would be something scattered.
Perhaps.
You know, like, if you get like, if you just imagine like a plane, you were on the tower and the plane like sort of hits and pushes you.
Sure.
A plane is moving pretty fast, so it could launch you pretty far.
I suppose, but it seemed to me like most of the people were like trapped in the rubble, right? I mean,
I'm talking about like if you were in the tower and like pushed out. Like it's possible, but
it's possible.
Like there's got to be some person who's like thrown against the wall or the window.
I'm not buying it, but let's go to the World Wide Web. Let's see, body parts.
Body parts 9/11.
Found after 9/11.
This will get you on all kinds of on NSA watch lists. Yeah, see, there's their...
In debris.
Bone fragments. See, now you got the truther sites. Which,
let's see.
By
body
the way,
parts found after 9/11.
I know how much you don't like to talk about politics, but do you realize there's a strong possibility that Alex Jones will now be in a presidential library?
I don't know who that is.
Oh. Matt Roan, who's listening to this show, will chime in. He'll help out.
Matthew Roney. Who?
Alex Jones.
I don't know.
He's a guy who believes that 9/11 was an inside job.
Oh, okay.
A bunch of other crazy stuff.
Well, do we know it wasn't?
Yeah.
Are these corpses? What is this shit? No, that's just
like
junk. Rubble
and stacked things.
Ew, this is body parts. Okay.
Like this seems like the kind of photo that would be very easy to fake as well.
Well, that's the thing, because this body part
like,
picture
if you go back
that
to,
I just
like,
found.
There's a body part photo. It looks like it's just kind of like a like something you just buy at a butcher shop.
Yes.
And it's just there.
Yes, and they just threw it in an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh my God, this is a body part.
Because the thing is, like, I'd imagine, like, you know, everything in the human body is connected. I don't know if you were aware of that. But it seems like it'd be very hard to just find, like, one body part in isolation without the other attending body parts.
Yeah, like just a finger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could see if you were digging through the rubble and you found some shit, but I don't know. I don't know, man.
This definitely is the kind of search you do with Safe Search off, for sure. Now, wait a minute. Why is there just like a woman hanging out like in a blue dress?
Her arms look really weird.
Yeah, like there's somebody on Google who's like looking for 9/11 body parts and they click on the stock photo of a woman.
And they're just like, here's a picture of this lady.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is taking me to Pinterest. I'm seeing a picture of John Wayne Gacy.
Jerking off?
Kind of looks like he's jerking off, yeah. A guy shooting someone. A man with his weird...
Oh, I kind of want that doll.
In 1894, a priest saved a 4-year-old boy from drowning. The boy was named Adolf Hitler.
Oh, boy.
There's an aborted fetus. Kid carrying bricks.
There's somebody who's basically making like
Pinterest.
A pro-life Pinterest of like collecting stuff from 9/11.
It's a very bizarre Pinterest. Oh. I have not seen Pinterest used this way.
To collect a whole bunch of gross pictures.
Yeah, although it's an interesting different use.
It's someone's building their own rotten.com for those of you who are old people like us listening to the show.
Do you think that still exists?
I am positive it does.
A decade after nearly being burned alive, she's learned to watch for her new normal. Wait, burned alive?
Oh, she was stuck in the 9/11s.
Oh, her arms and back are scarred. Her skin bleeds. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she got all fucked up. So I guess that's why her arms look weird. Probably. Yeah, ooh.
Do you think she gets offers to do porno, like just so that people can see what her vagina looks like if she was caught in a fire like that?
I just feel like maybe get a dress with sleeves.
I mean,
is that wrong?
Poonmaster Flex is giving me a dirty look, but she knows that she would totally watch that to try and figure out. John Wayne Bobbitt, like he did pornos because people want to see what his penis looked like after it got cut off.
Hmm.
So I would imagine it's kind of the same thing. Someone's got to be into that. So Rotten.com
still exists. It looks like about the same as it used to.
It looks like it's a little bit, it's got a left-hand navigation menu, which is different.
Now it's got today, daily Rotten News, t-shirts, press, words, porno, FMAX, mugshots, NNDB, boners, FAQ, legal contact, and links. I'm most curious about t-shirts, honestly.
Oh,
page not found.
They don't have any t-shirts anymore. Did not. You know what? You are on the same level as Rotten.com, which is really part of internet history.
No, it said it couldn't connect to the server. Am I just not connected to the internet, or is it... oh no, it's just broken. I clicked on boners. FAQ still works. Okay, well there you go.
This looks like somebody who barely decided to recode the site. They're just like,
yeah. There's a bird sitting on a boner.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kid giving Jesus a blowj. Oh, gross.
There's a
dead body.
There's like a dead infant.
Dead opened. Babies.
Yep.
Dead babies.
And then all of a sudden there's a cat picture.
Yeah, that worked out. Okay.
All right, so we basically decided that cornbread is kind of like the Rotten.com of Thanksgiving foods.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of, there's something missing to it, and what is there is bad.
Someone at work was like, do you put like corn, like creamed corn in your cornbread? Mm-hmm. And I was like, ew, no. And also, I am not a believer in like, okay, Whole Foods. If there's ever been a store that has the best looking baked goods that taste like shit, it is Whole Foods.
Oh my gosh. Jen/Wilma, she's already been revealed in this podcast. she's on Twitter enough to be a fan.
It's true.
She had the worst white bean and kale soup from Whole Foods. Mm. Like it was actually disgusting. Mm-hmm. It was like cornbread level disgusting.
come on, rose ice cream.
In that it was gritty, like it was full of dirt.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, like they decided not to wash the kale. The broth was bad. It didn't have any white beans in it.
Oh.
So it's like a white bean and kale soup with not really any white beans
in it. With no beans and dirt.
And dirt, yeah. Like beans come from dirt, so like dirt, beans, kind of the same thing.
I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose beans grow from the dirt and therefore must turn dirt into bean.
Exactly.
But if we're going to go that far, I mean,
that's really how Wendy's makes its burgers, right?
No. Not at all.
I was hoping you would be a little offended.
It's like Willy Wonka's back there, I assume.
So you're saying every Wendy's is a land of pure imagination?
For me, it is.
Come with me and you'll see some beef squared in pure imagination.
I'm Wendy. My uncle's Dave. And he made me his slave.
Ooh, that took a turn.
Yeah.
If you she was too young to work. Paradise, it is somewhere other than here. He keeps me chained in the basement. I live in fear.
Yeah, Wendy's.
Yeah.
Go to Wendy's. They enslaved one Wendy. But, you know for a lifetime of pleasure for the rest of us,
mm-hmm.
was for the greater good.
She made all the hamburgers square because she was trying to make a message that said, help me.
Yeah, just trying to spell stuff with them.
Exactly.
Didn't work. I just ate it.
Yeah.
I just ate them.
You've been eating them. You've eaten an entire help me message by now.
Oh, yeah.
Several times.
Oh, yeah. You could make like a castaway size message of burgers by
a... You could make a small boat that Tom Hanks could have sailed back to the mainland on with the number of Wendy's burgers you've eaten.
He wouldn't have needed to. Could have just eaten all the burgers.
That's true. He would never have needed to go.
This is fine. He wouldn't have lost all that weight.
Well, he had to, you know, he would have all those burgers, so he wouldn't have to, like, be able to hit a fish with a spear from a distance.
Yeah, that was bullshit. I never bought that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he, like, chopped his tooth out with an ice skate. The ice skate, that was the best thing. Couldn't take the blade off the ice skate or something.
So, like, just take the ice skate apart.
Yeah, do something. A little bit.
All right, so we got through the cornbread.
After that, there wasn't really anything I didn't like, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was all pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like...
That's where the list gets hard.
Yeah. Well, I didn't eat the sweet potatoes.
That's fine.
That was my next least favorite.
Mm. I like those, but I can see why someone wouldn't. I'd actually put the turkey there.
What?
I mean, because it just doesn't taste like anything.
What?
It's just meat. I don't like turkey that much.
Oh. I brought barbecue sauce.
I know. I saw that there was barbecue sauce. But, like, turkey's the thing where, like, I eat because I'm like, I gotta eat some, you know.
I was like, do you think it's rude if I bring barbecue sauce? And Poon Master Flex was like, no. And I was like, okay. And then we were at the top of the stairs about to leave, and I was like, fuck, I forgot the barbecue sauce. Should I go get it? She's like, I don't know. And I stood there for a good, like, two count thinking about it and was like, yeah, I'm going to get it. Because last time, I can't remember what it was, but this was a couple years ago. The last time I asked if our mom had any barbecue sauce, she's like, oh, yeah, I do. And I went down in the pantry in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
She had a like cheap-ass bottle of barbecue sauce she bought at, you know, the dollar store.
Right.
And when she bought it, it was like 2 years expired. And so at this point, it was like 5 years expired.
It had fermented and started to turn into bourbon.
And she was like, it's fine. Just eat it. And I was like, no, I'm not eating this. It's a sauce. I don't need it so badly that I'm like, sure, why not? I'll just go without.
It's not like you're a diabetic and it's insulin and you're like, is it expired? A little bit, but I gotta have it.
Yeah. Later I'm going to be like, thank God I'm vomiting because I wanted to improve this burger 8%.
Yeah.
Come on. So you're not a fan of the turkey, huh?
No, I would put that under, I would put that under the sweet potatoes because I went back for the sweet potatoes today.
Mm.
And I kind of didn't go back for the turkey today.
Whoa.
So.
Controversy.
Yeah.
Controversy.
Well, Poonmaster Flex can stare and be angry all she wants, but she's not going to get on the mic and defend herself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Take
that,
see.
People. This is an audio podcast, so she's not even, no one's seeing any of this.
What else was there? There was corn, potatoes, stuffing. There's some kind of berry thing. I didn't even touch that.
I guess that might be the bottom because I didn't even touch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's... It looked kind of like just some kind of a sludge.
Yeah.
That should be inside of a pie, maybe.
Really, what it was the ice cream that hadn't been stirred for 20 minutes.
What I should tell you... So I didn't say it at the time. I showed a very un-Peter-like level of restraint.
Yeah.
And I just read the Stephen King book, Thinner. And so this guy gets cursed by a gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's losing weight, you know.
Right.
And then the gypsy is like... Finally, after many machinations, spoiler alert for Thinner, if you've not read Thinner from like 1960, whatever.
Or saw the movie.
Or seen the movie.
Yeah.
So the gypsy's like, I can't just lift the curse. I have to, you know, you have to give it to somebody else. So he bakes it into a pie. And then he's like opening this pie. And it sounds like it's sort of, he opens this, cuts it open. And it's like this pulsing red stuff. Sounds like a wound/vagina. The guy puts his blood in there, and then the curse is in there. And what was in that bowl reminded me of this part of Thinner.
Mm.
Also, Thinner, the audiobook read by Joe Mantegna, and there's a mob guy in Thinner So basically, it was like I was listening to Fat Tony.
Fat Tony from The Simpsons.
Hours.
Yeah.
Hang on. I actually have this in hooked up here. Let me see if I can.
So you can kind of come back to it. So Peter's got quite a Stephen King library.
I do.
Going on from Audible. Audio program. Which doesn't even sponsor this podcast. It sponsors everything else.
Yeah, that's true. His hand as Lemka
had done. See, I can't hear blood any of this because I don't have any headphones this time. Oh, yeah. So yeah. I'm just going to imagine that it's Fat Tony reading. The light in his eyes whirled. Drift. Oh my ride. God, it sounds good. Like Fat Tony.
The man I was looking for is high.
Wait, it's
class
not even playing, is
trade.
It?
These guys in resort
nope,
towns float around like whores looking for steady customers. They rarely fall for big stuff. They move on all the time, and they are fairly smart, except for their shoes.
Yeah, drift trade. Okay. Anyway, that's what that stuff looked like.
So Peter's got some other books here. We should go through some of them. He's got Misery. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't done that one yet.
The Running Man.
That one was great. Mm-hmm. I would give that a 5 out of 5 possible stars.
So how does it differ from the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
In every way.
Okay.
So in the Arnold movie, he's like a prisoner.
Yeah.
And they put him on this basically reality show where he's put into this underground, like the ruins
it's
of
a game
old
show, really,
New York
yeah.
or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a game show.
It's like American Ninja Warrior, but they kill people.
Yes. And he's put into this underground, like the wreckage of old New York or wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has to survive and he goes through these different territories that are sort of manned by these different killers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're like these flamboyant, like there's an ice hockey one, Sub-Zero.
There's a guy with a chainsaw.
There's an opera man.
A flamethrower, like the flamethrower opera guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe he's called Dynamo or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is completely different. Okay, so the basic setup of it being a game show is the same.
Right.
But it's just based, so it kind of, the whole world in The Running Man is like this terrible socioeconomic disparity.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's got a sick kid and his wife is hooking. And he's like, well, I have to make money. And the only way to make money is to, you go down to the TV place and get on a show. So he's like, I guess I'll just go and get on a show. And he's fairly intelligent and stuff. So they put him on The Running Man, which is like the biggest one. But, you know, they die.
Right.
So for, you know, every hour or something you survive, you make X dollars. And but the way it works is, you know, they announce that you're the contestant on The Running Man and they just release you into the regular world. Like you're just in the real world.
They're like, you're in The Running Man, see you later.
Yes.
Or probably not.
And so you can't kill like civilians,
mm-hmm.
but you can kill police officers or, you know, any of the hunters who are supposed to be hunting you down. And then anyone in the real world who recognizes you will give tips to, you know, that they've seen you or whatever. Also, you have to send in a tape of yourself twice a day, basically through the mail, so mm-hmm. that they, so you can't just like find a hole somewhere and hide the whole time.
Like you have to sort of set it, like send a tape of where you are.
Right. So you'd have to go to a mailbox at some point, like twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big difference. I mean, and then, as you can imagine, that's the setup. Like, that's probably 10% into the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes from there completely different direction.
So basically, they have a very similar premise in that there's a game show and you get murdered. That's
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, but this one's more like, you know,
it's really like the Hunger Games without the dome.
It's exactly, yeah.
Yeah. And also without hunger.
Yeah.
Or sponsors.
Yeah.
Or Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
Or the guy who like paints, you know, who was a cake painter and then becomes really good at camouflage.
No, I don't know that is.
It's some kind of bread product. I think it's something like croissant or
pita.
Something like pita.
He's a bread painter.
That's ridiculous. He doesn't even look Greek.
I read the first book of that like right when it came out because I had just read Battle Royale.
Right.
And I was like, I want to read books like this. And it came up on a read-alike list, and it was brand new at the library,
mm-hmm.
just sitting on the shelf because nobody was reading this shit. And I read it, and I was like, I mean, it's basically Battle Royale Jr.
It's Battle Royale, but not as bloody.
Yeah, and not as good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the movie-wise, because I've seen the Battle Royale movie, and it kind of sucks. But
The Battle Royale is almost in that Sunday afternoon movie category, like, of kind of sucks.
I could not follow it.
Right.
And I had read the book.
It was very clear, like, that, like, when I read the subtitles, like, they had rushed through the translation and they rushed to, like, to release it because, like, the subtitles were, like, bleeding off of my screen.
Yeah, it does not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Thinner.
You got Silver Screen Fiend by Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, which I quit pretty early in because I got very bored.
That's probably a book that's better to read than it is to listen to.
You know what I'm tired of? All these comedians write these memoirs. And every single one, it's like, chapter one, when I was a kid, right. Here's what things were like in my house. And you're like, I mean, it's not super exciting. Most of them, it's not, I'm not blown away.
Most of them did not have the shittiest of shitty childhoods.
Yeah.
And then others, like, were, most of them had either, like, normal childhoods or mildly shitty childhoods.
Yeah, like, someone needs to tell comedians who write memoirs, hey, unless something super significant happened in your childhood, I don't care. Just start when you're like 30.
Start when you're in college.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, that's not a bad... if you're a comedian and you're like 40, you can start when you're like 23.
I would say start your memoir at the point which your life deviated greatly from the norm.
The best Patton Oswalt memoir is not really Silver Screen Fiend, but like the part in Zombie Spaceship Wasteland.
Yeah.
Where he's doing a terrible comedy set in Canada.
Yeah.
Like where he's got like a 2-day engagement.
Yeah.
To an empty comedy club.
Yeah.
And like the other person for whom, like the headliner just goes and reads like a joke book.
Yeah.
And gets all
and
of
kills.
His just kills.
Yeah.
That's the best memoir.
See, and that's the thing, because yeah. That's a situation where you're like, okay, this is different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is an unusual experience.
Then aside from that, in this audiobook library, everything else is from a different podcast. And since we don't talk about other podcasts, we assume those are just blank spaces.
Well, let's tell them, Steve Dave.
Well, see, you're giving up already. You're like these other podcasts are your competitors. You have to have the eye of the tiger and say that Tell Them Steve Dave is full of fuck faces and jerkwads.
But they're my friends.
They are not your friends. They are your enemies.
I refer to them as my friends.
You need to destroy them.
In my home, I'm like, do you know what my friends were talking about today?
You mean your competitors. All of these listeners could be listening to you, but they're listening to Tell Them Steve Dave instead.
But if they're doing that, then they're not hearing this.
Yeah.
So really, this is an empty...
Well, don't go listen to Tell Them Steve Dave. Or if you do... Don't buy any of their stuff. Buy only merchandise from Helpful Snowman.
I don't have any.
Well, I'm trying to help you out here. You gotta get a merchandise store going here.
Okay. I have a song on here called Horny Intro for Helpful Snowman Audio, and I don't know what that means.
So
but anyway.
All right, so we got to like some of the Thanksgiving rankings where we kind of had this the cranberry thinner.
Yeah.
The bottom. Like, and I'll put that in my bottom too because I didn't even eat
the
that.
The pulsating blood mm-hmm. pie that has a demon in it, that
so maybe,
a curse in it.
Maybe in the interest of getting to your list of stuff.
White man from town.
What is the best part? The best thing?
Being with my family and girlfriend. okay. I liked dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon roll bars.
Yeah, that was really
frosting
high on the list.
Was a little gritty, but overall A+. I like stuffing quite a bit, and I like mashed potatoes.
I'd say honorable mention this year was the rolls.
The rolls were pretty good.
So I think I've eaten about 8 of those.
Yeah, I think you ate like 3 or 4 last night.
Yeah.
Just kept putting them rolls away.
Exactly. And I was like, these are fine. These are good. So it's my honorable mention. But yeah, I'd probably say cinnamon roll bars were the best. The winner.
That was what you liked the best?
Poon Master Flex won Thanksgiving.
Way to go. You are no longer welcome because your dish showed mine up. So
by a large margin.
Find another Thanksgiving next year. Don't flip me off. Speaking of foods.
Foods.
I had a question for you. Have you ever used Tide Pods?
Tide Pods. Like the you mean like the little laundry pods?
Yes.
Yes. I have used the pods. I've used the All Pods as well. I've also used the generic ones from Target.
Okay, let me ask you this question.
All right.
Why do I want to bite the Tide Pods?
I've never wanted to bite the Tide Pods.
Uh-huh.
I've wanted to bite the Cascade Pods.
Why the Cascade Pods?
They look like candy. Like, they look like they have a little ribbon in them.
Mm.
And so it's like the... It's the kind of thing where, like, sometimes when I see, like, the All Pods, or it's like, oh, a kid will bite in. You know, they have a warning, like, do not give it to children. It's not candy. Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, that's a dumb kid.
That's true.
But the Cascade ones look like candy. They have a little ribbon on it, for fuck's sake.
But the Tide Pods on the box, you know, I was like, I was putting them in the laundry and just like, why do I want to bite this? But then on the front of the thing, it's like, do not, you know, put in your mouth. Do not whatever. And then on it says, it doesn't say, you know, do not let children put in their mouth or something. It just says, do not give to children.
Just don't give
it to them. It's just like, don't do it because they will bite it.
They will bite it. They'll think it's candy.
And I think they did a focus group with these and they were like, half the people were like, you know, I'm an adult and I'm not going to do this, but I wanted to.
It's like they did that marshmallow test. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Like where they put like a kid in a room with a marshmallow
uh-huh.
and they see how long it takes for the kid to like not just, you know, not eat the marshmallow.
Uh-huh.
So basically they did the same thing with adults in a Tide Pod.
And yeah.
Like you're going to be in your room. You're not going to have a phone. You're not going to have anything else to do. Just stare at this Tide Pod.
I think I could go a long time not eating a marshmallow because I don't really care for marshmallows.
Could you do that as a 5-year-old?
Probably. I never really liked marshmallows.
Mm.
They're kind of a necessary evil because a s'more needs some kind of goo, and they're fun to put in a fire at a camp.
What about hot chocolate? How do you feel about marshmallows and hot chocolate?
Those are fine. Those aren't real marshmallows, though. Those are like...
The little mini
Lucky
marshmallows.
Lucky Charms marshmallows.
The sort of kitty litter marshmallows.
Yeah, they have a crunch to them.
And so you do like Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Yeah.
And Count Chocula marshmallows.
Yeah.
And Frankenberry marshmallows.
Yeah. But they don't have they have a flavor.
Mm.
Marshmallow to me tastes, it's just a goo made into, I don't even know what you call that shape, a barrel?
it's
just this barrel of shit.
A goo barrel sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Nobody wants that.
A barrel of sugar goo.
Get rid of the marshmallow. Marshmallows are the weirdest thing that, like, they just, every fucking store, if you went to a store and they didn't have marshmallows, it would be, like, a shock.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, how many marshmallows do you eat in a year?
Oh, I don't think I've eaten a single marshmallow this year.
Right.
Like, not one.
When's the last time you went camping?
Oh, man, it's been a while.
Because I don't think I eat marshmallows except when I'm camping. And then maybe I'll eat one by accident because it's in something.
Like it just happened to show. You got a cheeseburger and it happens to have a marshmallow in it.
No, I just mean like it'll be inflicted on me because it's a part of a dish.
Okay.
If I'm generously calling something a dish.
You've got that weird like ambrosia from a deli counter.
Yeah, something.
And you've decided to eat that because you're at the golf tournament and you're super drunk and you're like, this it looks like a good idea.
Yeah, or like I'll eat a sundae that has marshmallow fluff that I think is whipped cream. And then I'm like, oh my God.
Then you regret
it. What have I done?
You spit it on the ground and you toss the sundae right back in someone's face.
I do. I would.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to go through. Did you? You had a couple things.
Oh, no. That was pretty much it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have these magazines that I've been collecting from my gymnasium called The Best of Greeley.
All right. This is going to be great for an audio podcast to look at some magazines.
Well, I have some things, you know, in them. I mean, because you're not a resident here anymore, but you were.
Right.
And there are a couple things that I just, I mean, mostly what this appears to be. At one time, I kind of thought that what one could do is basically create a magazine or newspaper like this, sell the ad space, and then you just fill it with some bullshit. And you're just like, really, the point of this is that I'm getting paid to do the ads, right? Because that's how this kind of thing survives. You know, like April's must-haves of the months is like a shitty-looking necklace, a shitty-looking to-go cup that would fit in nothing, some kind of goo for your face, and like a mosquito band.
There's like the Aveda, like, you know, pyramid scheme products in there.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just like all these real, you know, real shitty looking people in here. And then every once in a while you see someone that you're like, hey, I know that dude. But it I have a favorite. Oh, you want to talk about things to do in April in Greeley?
Well, okay. April was a few months ago. Or is this, this is the April coming up?
This is last
April. Is this a magazine from the future?
This is last April, but let's assume pretty likely that the same things will be going on.
All right.
First Friday presentations. This is kicked off with Meeker's influence on Greeley's cultural scene at the museum.
Greeley's cultural influence on what?
His influence on the cultural scene.
Horace Greeley.
No, Meeker.
Meeker.
God. Okay. Meeker's influence on Greeley's cultural scene.
Okay.
It seems like you weren't even interested enough in that to follow what it was.
Nope, didn't care.
All right, let's move on to number two.
I spaced out immediately.
There's two walking tours.
All right.
You can join the Historic Preservation Program for the History Brown Bag series, where some guy presents the Holocaust, 10 things you never knew you wanted to know.
So wait a minute. Why is there a Holocaust thing in Greeley, Colorado, where the Holocaust did not occur, as far as we know?
I really like how the title of this, they're like, we're going to BuzzFeed this shit.
Right.
10 things you didn't know that you didn't know about the Holocaust. Number 8 will blow your mind. And I'm like, I doubt it, but let's see what happens.
I keep clicking on this in a walking tour, and it's not working.
How many surprises are left about the Holocaust at this point?
It is a very thoroughly documented event.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, we have like Jewish people marching into a pit of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what more? What at this point is going to make me go like, huh? Huh?
Maybe it's really, you know, it is an InfoWars kind of thing, and then all of a sudden at the end, like number one, oh, by the way, it's not real.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that would be a surprise.
That would be, I would be like, amazed.
Yeah.
That I'd be into, because I'd be like, well, something happened.
Like, you'd be like, this tour took a turn.
Let's see. Downtown Greeley's Toynton Gallery? Taunton?
Mm. Tonto?
Features Burke and Burchett, a mix of traditional film and modern images.
Oh, I think I know who that is.
Okay, here we go. Now we're talking. Number 5. Baby animals are back.
Oh, thank God.
Baby Animal Days returns to Centennial Village with a special new price of $2 per person. Pack a picnic and enjoy lunch at the museum.
Why do I need to pack a picnic? There's already baby animals there. Like, I mean, why am I bringing food when there is food?
Just take a little lamb, grab it by the back leg, swing it against the tree.
Mm-hmm. I was going to, like, try to twist its head off and drink the blood. Just like... kind of, it's like a go-gurt, really, for me.
Ugh.
Just take the lamb and kind of like squeeze it and just get all the bones in there, too.
That's organ how meats. Centennial Village worked.
Yep.
For those of you who didn't grow up in the area, here's what I remember of Centennial Village. This is like your classic old-time, you know, here's how things were done back in the day. Except because it's Centennial Village, it's not that long ago.
Right.
It's like 1870s. So, I mean, it's a long time ago, but it's not like a Renaissance village.
Right.
It's basically, what I remember is you would go there, they had a candy store where you could buy, you know, they were
gross
like candy canes, yeah, but different flavors,
mm-hmm,
and there was no curve to them. Candy sticks, candy rods.
Right.
And they would have like orange ones and lemon ones and shit. And then you could go to a newspaper place where they taught you how to make hats out of a newspaper.
Which we all learned how to do from the book Curious George.
Yeah.
Because a monkey could do this.
Yeah.
And we weren't even taught by a monkey. We were taught by some kind of museum volunteer.
I remember we went there for school and I finally learned how to do it and kind of mastered it. And then I could make a couple different hats. I could make like the square hat and I could also make like a Pope hat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did this like every day for a month because I did not want to lose the skill of making a newspaper hat.
So can
and
you
I
do
have
it?
Subsequently lost the skill.
I was
going to
ask, like, could you do it
I
now?
I have no idea how to do it now. Maybe if I got the internet directions, I could rekindle.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember doing it, or I don't remember how to do it so much as I remember doing it and really not really wanting to not forget
how do you think if I gave you this piece of paper here?
No.
It would be like, what's her name? Gina Davis in The Long Kiss Goodnight.
No.
Where like all of a sudden she's like chopping the vegetables and she's like, I remembered how to do this with the knife. And then all of a sudden could throw the knife.
No.
Like if we just put the paper in your hand, all of a sudden there'd be a Pope hat.
No, because I have held a newspaper.
Oh, right.
I don't think it's like... It just maybe if I held a newspaper and smelled manure, then I could do it.
So you just need to like hold a newspaper after, you know, and go into the bathroom after Poon Master Flex has used it. Boom.
Bam.
Yeah.
Let's see. Water documentary.
Oh. You found something more boring than Nathan Meeker.
Hold on. 7. Earth Day is Friday, April 22nd.
Okay.
Now, that's not really a Greeley. I mean, okay, this is 10 things.
Well, Greeley
things
is part
do.
Of the earth. Yeah.
10 things to do in April, but I don't think Greeley can take credit for, like, hey, it's not like there's an event. It's just like, do something nice for the earth that day.
It's a little bit like if you had number 8 Christmas.
Yeah. Have Christmas at your house by yourself.
Part of God was born. By the way, Greeley is marginally involved because, you know, it's part of creation. No way.
Okay, this is good. Now, it sounds okay at first, right? Astronomy night.
Okay.
The Pooter Learning Center hosts it, weather permitting. Bring your telescope or simply come to look. So, my understanding is what they're saying is, walk your ass out here and just look up at the sky where we are.
Come on out here and either show off your expensive telescope or... You know, don't you remember that our dad had a telescope?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we went to scout camp and we had to walk in and carry it. And he never used it.
I don't know why he bought this telescope. Like, for what purpose?
I don't... It was in this, like, crazy Russian crate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was big and expensive and heavy. Mm-hmm. And then I remember him setting it up in the backyard, like, one time. And he didn't know how to use a fucking telescope. Like, he just pointed it at, like, a star or something. And you're like, well, I guess it's bigger. I don't know. But it's not like he was like, okay, now I'm going to... It seemed like he was always, like, looking for a hobby that he never found.
Right.
You know, he's like, I'm going to do this. And then he would be like, I'm going to get into astronomy. And then he would be like, this sucks.
Like, he would buy the most expensive thing he could find to get into a hobby. It's not like he got in... I mean, we all have that thing of like we're going to get into something and then don't like actually follow through with it. Like I have a steam basket in my house for when I was going to like make a whole bunch of dumplings.
Okay.
But that cost me $8 on eBay.
Right.
And I feel like I could still pick that up if I wanted to.
Sure.
Yeah,
I think he, you know, if I had to make an assessment, I would say... I think what he really liked was being drunk on the porch and smoking cigars.
Yeah.
And so any hobbies that lent themselves towards that seemed like a good idea.
If he could somehow like make an excuse like he's setting up a telescope, but he's drunk on the porch and has a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What he really needed to, what he didn't figure out to get into, Game Boy.
Yeah, Game Boy would have been a good choice.
Yeah.
Game Boy, maybe chess by mail. Something. Because then if you're into chess by mail, you get the letter, you make their move, and then you just sit there and look at the chessboard. You're like, I'm thinking.
You contemplate the move for a long time.
Making an opening gambit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to get chess by mail. You just need to say that's what you're doing.
Well, it gives you a whole bunch of extra time because you have to go and set up the board and set up the moves.
Yeah.
Then you could actually like have the letters there and like go back and set up all of the stuff and be like,
yeah.
So that way it looks like you're doing something.
I like to go through the game each time.
Right.
Let's see. Number 9, Ballet West 2 Outreach. Ballet West 2 is a training ground for young pre-professional dancers and a major resource component for Ballet West outreach and education, and boasts a rich and varied repertoire. So there's ballet.
Raspberry Ballet.
There's a very bored-looking dancer. A live street art happening. Finally, if there's one thing you check out this month... Oh, did you catch that pun? The library has a wide range of free activities.
So, basically, number 10 is like, go to the library and get a book.
I guess so. I don't know how this was a live street art happening, but that's fine.
Where that seems like to be where you're really stretching. I mean, that must be the worst day to work at BuzzFeed when you like you have to make a list of 10 things and you really only have 6.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like, Earth Day is that month.
Yeah, Earth Day is that month. That's kind of awesome. We've got the Holocaust Denier Tour. Let's add that.
Okay, and then on the front of this magazine, one thing they do is they do, like, makeovers.
Right.
So this lady, who was perfectly nice looking, they made look more like a weird whore.
See, I can't actually see.
Oh, here.
All right, so she kind of looks... She looks like a normal person.
Yeah, a normal human person.
Like a normal human person. Well, this is an oil painting. Oh, I was looking at the oil painting.
It's so lifelike that you.
But she looked like an oil like, painting. It's an oil person. But then I see like, okay, so now looking at this, yeah, she looks like a, still looks like a normal human person.
Yeah.
Looks totally fine.
Yeah.
And then she looks like some kind of. I don't know. It's totally unnecessary. You know, like the picture that they have in the beginning, it looks just like it looks just fine.
Yeah.
It's taking like somebody who is, I'd almost want to say like is attractive,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the real world way.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to make her look like attractive in a magazine way.
Yeah.
And
right.
It failing. Actually looks worse. So. I reject this life-changing makeover in favor of the oil painting on the other page.
A person who may or may not be real.
Right.
Now, here's my favorite thing. There's 10 ways to get ready for spring planting. Greeley women pursuing the great outdoors. There's a thing about orthodontists. Conquering stroke and motherhood. The state of public safety.
Very good.
But my favorite thing about this is in the back.
Which, by the way, in the state of public safety, one of the things that I did today was I got to see the big fracking wall.
Oh, what'd you think? As walls go.
You know, it's the kind of thing that was, it was massive. Like, it was way bigger than I thought it would be.
# build that wall.
Exactly. But it was strange because it seemed like right up against somebody's house.
Yeah.
Like, just to give a little context, Greeley has a lot of, fracking and natural gas wells around it.
Yes.
And apparently, like, there's a big well or some kind of transportation center being built where there's people. And yeah. So there's a whole bunch of walls to sort of, like, block off these wells and transportation centers from regular people.
Well, okay, so part of the rules about these things is, you know, everyone was complaining that they're an eyesore.
Right.
So part of the rules is they have to block the actual goings-on from view. But they usually just put up these big... It basically looks like it's in a giant brown paper bag.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
they built like a giant, cheap-looking wall.
Yeah, I mean, it's cheap as shit. It does not look good.
No.
It just... They just have to do that. Also... Yeah, it's kind of fucked up because...
Like, in many ways, I wonder if it would be better just to see the machinery than to see this giant wall. Because, like, the wall completely obstructs your view of everything.
I think the real truth of the matter is the regulations for how far you have to be from someone's house to do this are not nearly acceptable.
No.
Like,
there's, like, a wall basically in someone's backyard.
Yes. Well, and I think that, I think it's pretty simple. I think what they need to do is need to... Do it if they want to do it within so that close of someone's house. And also, you're not talking, you know, I know when people probably who aren't familiar with this don't really know what we're talking about, but this is like a 24/7 operation,
right?
It's loud as shit.
Mm-hmm.
They have super bright halogen lights going at all night, every night, trucks going in and out constantly. I mean, this is not. This is like living next to a factory.
It is living next to a factory.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be there for the next, like, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, you're, like, in for a shitty life for the next 5 years.
You can't sell your house because, like, it's
no one's gonna
next
buy
to a factory.
It. Right. You have to just wait out the 5 years if you wanted to sell your house. Meanwhile, you know, it's causing earthquakes. The groundwater's going to shit. All these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Greeley is kind of, well, lucky, I say, because we get our water from up north. It's not like well water. It's river water.
Right.
You know, so we're fine water-wise, but that doesn't mean it's not fucking up all the water that is here.
Water cycle, man. It's going to come back around.
It does. But then also, I just think, like, it seems fair to me if you're going to do oil and gas somewhere that you just basically, if you're within even a reasonably large distance of a home, mm-hmm. you should be forced to buy that home for market value, or like forced to offer to buy the home for market value.
Like at least, you know, put some money down to say like, we're going to make your life a living hell.
Yeah. And be like, you have the option to get out if you want to,
mm-hmm.
and we'll buy the home. Because it's, well, here's the other thing. Like, you know, it's right up against this house, basically. But, you know, that house does not own that land. It's not like some places people have their oil and gas, their mineral rights, they sell them. And so then they do make money from the deal. So you're like, well, this is kind of what you made that money from.
Right.
But then some people, that's not that way.
Like some people, they're profiting. Like they lose something, but they're gaining something. So it balances out, or yeah. you hope it balances out. But these people are gaining nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's a terrible scene. It's an interesting economic scene here.
It's only about how long do you think it is before someone paints something on the wall, like a giant penis?
No one will do that here.
Or a tag.
No one will do that here. It's too, you know, the thing is the places where they would do that, fracking is illegal.
That's true.
Like you can't do it in, I believe, Boulder County.
Mm-hmm.
It's not allowed. Because they're like, oh, they can do it up there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to let it happen here. So
the places where people would protest.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, a place like here is a little more less education, more working class. And so they...
Drill, baby, drill.
Too many of the people need the jobs and stuff.
They really want to make America great again.
They do.
So, like, basically what happens is they got oil and gas jobs.
Yeah.
They built a giant wall.
Yeah.
It really is Trump's America here.
Well, here's the thing about it. I think like that people neglect is like the oil and gas industry does pay people pretty well, and you don't have to have like a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a big money industry, and they pay their workers really well.
As long as there's oil and gas to be gotten.
Right. But then you just move to where the next spot is. You know,
right.
Before it was Oklahoma
mm-hmm.
and North Dakota, and now it's here, and it'll be somewhere else. So that's just kind of...
Is that covered in the Best of Greeley magazine? Like, fracking.
No, but this is tangential. So at the end of every issue, there's this lady who writes these articles. She's sort of the Dave Barry of this magazine.
Dave Barry's not an old reference at all.
Well, whatever. He's a national treasure. So let me just... I'll just start with this, and you just, you know... I'll stop when there's too many laughs.
Okay.
And I can't hear myself.
All right.
Please no more white trucks, it says. I have a problem, and it's a biggie. I'm only sharing it with you now because it is April, and that makes for fools. I just wish I only did stupid stuff once a year. / Sadly, I do dumb stuff all the time.
Does that sentence really need a semicolon?
Nope.
Okay.
I went public with my problem by bringing it center stage for my husband and friends to see.
Wait, which problem?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
We recently had lunch with a couple of work buddies, one of whom drives a white truck. He drove us to Bogies and parked in the middle of the parking lot.
Wait, what's Bogies?
It's an eating place.
Okay.
After eating lunch, we were all walking back to the parking lot, and I immediately jumped into the first white truck I saw. Our other lunch partner jumped in right behind me. I remember thinking our friend really needed to clean out his interior. It seemed odd to me that I hadn't noticed how messy he was on the ride over because I always noticed that kind of thing and typically refused to ride in icky vehicles. After several minutes passed, I looked at my fellow passenger and wondered where the other two went. I looked around and was somewhat surprised to see them standing outside another white truck looking at us like we had lost our minds. In the defense of the other passenger, she wasn't paying attention and just followed me. I am the one with the problem, not her. So here's the thing. I wasn't even sure when I read this the first time what exactly was happening. But I think what she's saying is she went out to lunch and rode with a friend. And then she got in what she thought was her friend's truck, but it was really her other friend's truck.
That seems about right, where basically what happened was she got into the wrong truck. And she got a whole article out of it, so props to her.
I wouldn't think too much about it if it was a one-time deal. Sadly, this happens to me way too often.
Ooh.
Another man we work with also drives a white truck. I was breaking down some boxes at our office and put them in the back of the first white truck I came to. It took me several trips and a ton of boxes to realize I was loading them in the wrong one. The one that belongs to us was parked way at the other end and really doesn't look that much like the one I was using as my own personal dumpster. I was tempted to leave them there as I was sure he wanted to go to the recycling center anyway. Ha 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 ha. So this is basically a lady who's like, I don't know what my car looks like.
I don't know what a truck is.
Well, I don't know which white truck is mine.
It seems like if you're a normal person and you have this problem, right? Like, in other words, you're a normally competent person, but you tend to just mistake trucks for other trucks. You just be like, you know what I'll do is I'll put like a bumper sticker or a window decal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where Calvin pissing on something is helpful, because you'd be like, am I Calvin pissing on a Ford or on the cross, or what is Calvin peeing on or praying to?
Yeah, just do something. I don't know. Just make some distinctive mark.
Mm-hmm.
Or just learn what your fucking car looks like. It's not that hard.
Or you could do what you've done, which is basically like there's a small dent in your car.
Yes, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I hit it with a hammer. And
you put it in the right position so it could get hit by a neighbor.
Do like me. Let some asshole hit your car.
Right.
Never pay you for it. Yeah. And then
you'll be able to find it right away.
To identify. Also, when your car is like 17 years old, it becomes, every year that passes, it becomes a little easier to tell which one is yours. Here's another column she wrote.
Yikes.
It's called It's Happening Again. Yikes, I'm my mother-in-law.
Uh-oh.
We used to drive my poor mother-in-law nuts. We lived in what we referred to as the low campground. That's her last name. Mm-hmm. My in-laws lived in a house at the end of the lane. We built a house on one side, and my husband's sister built one on the other side of us. There was a lot of family sharing space. There was what? Now, at this point, what do you think this is about?
See, I'm trying to get the geography of what's going on. Like, they're building houses, and there's, like, a valley in between them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. The downside of living there was it was kind of like a fishbowl. Everyone knew what everyone else was doing. That was where my mother-in-law came in.
Mm-hmm.
Her house was a popular destination. I can remember countless Sunday dinners. My mother-in-law shaking her head and telling her son, Sunshine, you are a... burning the candle at both ends. I can't even begin to imagine how we managed to work, run a household, do all the kid activities, and play as hard as we did. What the fuck? I don't even know what this is.
That's nonsense.
Let's go to the last one. If you need something, wait till I wake up before asking. Just saying. Now, this is a Halloween one.
Okay.
There's never been any question with my family and friends that mornings bring out the worst I have to offer. The early day hours are simply not my forte, and I've been told I am less than pleasant until I give myself at least an hour to wake up, have a cup of coffee, more on that in a bit, and in general fume at Mother Nature for not making nights last longer.
Well, I like that she previews something that will come later. She's really following Chekhov's advice about, like, you know, showing us a gun in Act One. She's really showing us that coffee will be important later in the story. This has been the writing cast.
There was a video on Facebook that was so me. It depicted a female zombie waking up and her husband trying to beat her to the coffee machine so he could pour her a cup before she had a chance to devour his face with her razor sharp teeth. He was terrified of his zombie wife. Mine, for whatever reason, is the same way with me. He always has the coffee made and prays that it is done before I slump out of bed and crawl out to the chair.
So basically, she's telling us something that she saw on YouTube the other day.
Yeah. I like that it's just like, they had this great video on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Get on there. You'll see it. We all know the videos we're talking about, the Facebook ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on Facebook.
The Face Waves videos.
Some
the face
clever
waves.
Person put these on Facebook.
It's probably got a cat or something.
Yeah, there was no cat in it. I just threw these magazines on the floor.
With authority.
Because I'm done with them.
Done with them.
So that's what's been going on here.
I guess I did have another topic here.
Okay.
This is a little political.
You made a list of two topics.
I made a list of two topics. Hey, how many guests do you have that make a list of topics at all?
None.
Yeah, there
Ask
you go.
Ask how many guests I have.
A ton?
None. Almost none.
All right. Well, see, this was something that we were talking about earlier today,
mm-hmm.
where without getting into too much detail, because you'll probably save those for later podcasts.
Okay.
You've had a reorientation in your life, in your worldview.
I have?
Well, yes. Professionally.
Like I'm gay?
Not that. Well, you're not professionally gay. I mean, you might be an amateur gay person.
I don't understand.
But basically,
the use of orientation that confused me.
Basically, you realized like things that you thought were not possible were made possible by one event.
Yeah.
Right?
The election of America's hero... And mine, Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Yes.
President sex criminal.
Sure.
Yep. And you said something very specific about it, where it was the idea that you said, you know, if he could be president, then I could apply for pretty much any job and be able to get it. Like, really, anything is possible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, do you want me to talk about this, or is this...
Well,
I
had this as a topic that wasn't fully formed. Okay. I was trying to like come up with jobs that you thought like you could, like you didn't think you could have gotten before, but now you think you could have. Like,
I see. I didn't know where we were going.
Right.
I was confused.
Right. So let's go through some jobs that maybe you thought you couldn't have before, but you know, let's chart a pathway to them perhaps.
Okay.
So what are some dream jobs that you thought you couldn't have before that now seem possible to you?
Strong man.
Okay. So when you think about being a strong man, most of the time you have to like probably go to the gym, right?
Yes.
You have to go to like a special gym. You can't go to like the regular gym.
I feel like you have to go to some kind of like warehouse gym.
Or a box, as CrossFitters call it.
Not a box.
Not a box.
CrossFitters and strongmen are not the same.
Right. And so you probably have to go to that. But basically with the election of Donald Trump, anybody could be a strong man. Anybody could lift one of those giant medallions that I've seen only one strongman competition on TV before.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, like they have to, you know, there's got to be like some kind of lifting heavy thing and then like carrying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What sticks in my mind about this strongman competition is it wasn't like they made this big heavy thing like a ring.
Yeah.
Or just a slab.
Yeah.
They made it a slab in the shape of the continent of Africa.
That's the common one. That's the normal shape.
Why is it the normal shape?
I don't know for sure, but I think it has something to do with basically that's a carryable shape.
Mm.
Because it's got like a, you know, it's kind of a T shape.
So it's like a T shape, but it's also got the idea that you're going to carve it without a whole bunch of sharp corners.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not totally sure why it's the shape of Africa. I mean, like they carry other things. Like basically strongman contests are about carrying... heavy shit that's hard to carry.
And see, the thing is, like, when I saw the strongman competition, it was in South Africa, so I'm like, oh, they did like a themed
See, and it might be that it's
object.
Always there. A Hassafel stone.
And so this is called a Hassafel stone, according to World's Strongest Man.
This event was first introduced in 1992. Legend has it that the stone was originally crafted in Iceland over 200 years ago, and used by an Icelandic pastor to help keep one of his stable doors open. The stone is still kept in Iceland at site of Pastor Snorri Bjornsson's stables. The stone itself is a flat, somewhat triangular rock weighing 182 kilograms. The challenge for this event is to carry the stone held high across the chest over a set distance whilst being timed. During the 3 years in which the World's Strongest Man competition was held in Africa, a newly shaped stone was crafted in the shape of the African continent, and the event was temporarily renamed the African Stone. So there you go.
So basically they kind of kept the idea of the Africa Stone around.
It sounds like it.
So basically you're feeling like in Donald Trump's America, you could lift Africa.
Well,
or like if you had to lift Africa, like what do you have to do? Where I'm seeing a guy right now, he's carrying like a shield.
Yeah,
that looks
this
like
is like
way
the,
easier
the
to carry.
Stone.
Like, that looks way easier
like
to
the
carry
same
somehow.
Shape. It's like a T shape.
I guess so. Oh, it's kind of got a lion hanging on the other side of it. So, like,
I think it's an elephant.
This is a this is a visual thing.
Yeah.
So maybe we should probably describe a little bit, but it looked to me like the Punisher skull.
Okay.
With a head on the side.
Yeah, it is kind of shaped like a skull.
Mm-hmm.
So
why do you think they don't make a Punisher stone and like have a tie-in with Disney? Marvel.
I don't know.
That seems like that would get a whole bunch of kids interested in strongman competitions.
They have a stone, okay. For the full Sturker status, the stone must weigh 341 pounds.
Okay.
Half strength is 228 pounds. A weakling stone is 107.8 pounds. And a useless stone is 50.6 pounds. I could definitely carry the 50.6. No problem.
You feel like you'd be in the useless category?
I could definitely carry the weakling stone.
Okay.
From there, it makes quite a jump from 107 to 228.
Well,
how far could I carry a 228-pound stone to be a half strength?
Normally,
or could I at all?
Well, see, in the new America that's been made great again, you should carry the weakling stone and then say you carry the heaviest stone.
Well, see, I think that what I was trying to say with this is not like I believe America is awesome now. Wikipedia Asian Month.
November is Wikipedia Asian Month. Come
There's
join
like
us.
There's like a weird picture of some kind of monkey. Oh, it's the Monkey King.
Yep.
Asian Women Month. What? Asia Women Month Guidelines.
Oh, so it's basically trying to create a whole bunch of articles on the Wikipedias
about Asia. Oh, boy.
So do you think there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff about hentai and various things of tentacle porn? Like, maybe more than normal?
Probably.
Yeah.
Here's a mouse pad that's made out of an anime butt.
Here's a, here are different penetration techniques for tentacles.
Okay, so here's what I was saying about this, the new America. It's not that I was like...
The America made great again.
No, yeah. It's not that. It's like... okay. If you had asked anyone in America, just about anyone, like a year ago, if Donald Trump would be president, they'd be like, no way.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of even think Donald Trump did not think he was going to be president, probably right up to the end.
Like right up until he actually won.
Yeah. But he is.
Yes.
And so the sort of silver lining way of looking at this for me was to say, you know, has anyone ever had worse odds of getting a job? Like, has anyone ever been, you know, less qualified and more disliked? I mean, by
his own
party.
Out of his way to disqualify himself in many ways. Like, to say awful things. Essentially, I mean, the... Becoming president is like having an 18-month-long job interview.
Yeah, and he did horribly.
Right.
And yet he's the president. So if he can be the president,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I should be able to fulfill some of my life goals. Now, this doesn't mean they're just going to happen.
Right.
Like, I don't believe that. I'm not like making fun of it in that way of like, and then everything was great, you know. What I'm saying is like, okay, it's hard to say anything positive about Donald Trump because people don't want to listen to it. I do think Donald Trump worked pretty hard last year.
Okay.
Like, he made a lot of stops. He, you know, he was doing shit. I bet he worked harder this last year than he has in like decades.
All right, I'll accept that.
And it worked
premise.
For him. Yeah. You know, and it worked. Like, he was successful. So I feel like, you know what? The odds of him becoming president were much lower than the odds of, like, let's say, me getting into the Iowa Writers' Workshop.
Right.
Right? Like, the odds of me getting into that are very low, but the odds of him becoming president were much, much lower.
Mm-hmm.
Just the straight-up scientific chances. So, in the end of the day here, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should try.
The number of obstacles for you getting into a particular Iowa Writers' Workshop are much lower than the obstacles that Donald Trump faced.
I would
say... So really,
say,
he's your inspiration. The wind beneath your wings.
I guess so. I mean, in a way, Donald Trump is an inspiring figure for me.
I am so going to cut that out and put that on a another thing out of context.
Well, I don't think it's...
In the racism podcast part two, that'll be the lead-in.
I know there are many people in the world who are told, like, in a concrete way, like, you'll never be anything, you can't do this. But over the last year, was there anyone who more people basically were like, you will not succeed?
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody... I've never seen someone on such a large scale that so many people were so vehemently opposed to and were so derisive of.
Right.
And who then succeeded completely. You know? So, like, his success does not mean good things as a, you know, in and of itself.
It means likely bad things or very bad things. Or... Normally bad things.
Or, yeah, just whatever.
But probably bad things.
We'll see.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I do? But...
You could get a safety pin and put it on your shirt.
No, I'm not doing that.
And show people that you don't want Brexit to happen.
Our mom last night was asking me if she thought maybe I should cut my hair differently
because mm-hmm.
people would think it was a white power haircut. Which I was like, I don't think people think that I am a white power. Is this a thing?
No, because like, I mean, the thing is, like, with recent news, there's been a whole bunch of like alt-right gatherings in Washington, D.C. that are also well photographed.
Yeah.
And no one's walking around with like a white power haircut. They all have normal haircuts.
Yeah, I feel like if anything, my haircut looks more like the people who would be protesting Donald Trump.
Yes.
Like hipster asshole
mm-hmm.
than white power.
If it had like one bit of silver in it, that would help. Or yeah. Purple.
Yeah, if I had like a streak,
mm-hmm.
something. And if I had some thicker glasses, that would be nice.
Maybe, you know, if you wanted to go all the way, like you had some beads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I like went up and I was writing protest poems on a manual typewriter somewhere. That's kind of more the look that my haircut's like.
You were writing protest poems, but you were moving like you were Stevie Wonder on a keyboard.
Yeah, like yeah. I was really into it. I'm going to just look up white power haircut and see.
That'll get you on the NSA's watch list.
That's fine. Hitler Youth haircut making a comeback. Now, this is in 2011.
It's on the stormfront.org. I always love how like white power. Okay.
I mean, these look like kind of normal.
Well, see, there's haircuts. One picture that does like it. I can see how your haircut would evolve from that haircut.
This guy just has a shitty haircut.
But they're very different.
Yeah, like it's not very close.
Like everything else here is from a movie.
They also seem to have white women. Oh, this is white women with black hairstyles.
So it's like white women who have cornrows or
I mean, something okay, else. This is a perfect example. They've got this a-holes right here. And he's got like the sides shaved and then it's super long on the top. He's got a
huge beard.
Long beard and kind eyes. Okay, here's Harry Potter with his head shaved. I mean, come on.
I mean, a lot of it is like
this is a black person. And this is like the third row of pictures when I look up white power haircut.
Well, it's one of the things like there's basically three that look like, you know, there's one that's clearly from a forum.
Yeah.
Two, you know, one that's unclear, one that is probably just a men's haircut board, and then one that is from Schindler's List.
Yes.
Like he's in an SS uniform.
Yes.
So I think the fact of the matter is the haircut doesn't make him a Nazi, but the SS uniform probably does.
Yeah, I would say that's more, or, you know, here's another guy, for example, which they're calling a hipster, but he may be in a motorcycle gang. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah. Like he's got the, what they call the cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm buying this whole,
Well, there's a black woman. I wonder how her haircut's a white power haircut.
There's a surprising number of black people that show up when you look up white power haircut.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I picture as being a white power haircut.
This is an audio podcast.
Well, I will tell you. It's basically a mullet, but that also looks like a wig.
It looks like you got a mullet wig and decided to go with it for Halloween.
Or how about a forehead tattoo that says white power?
I like how this guy, and this is a mugshot,
yeah,
like an inmate picture, and he's got like a nice big smile.
He does.
Mm-hmm. He's a happy dude.
Yeah, he's having a good time. This guy appears to be Asian. These people know they're appropriating my haircuts. Yeah, I mean...
Is that Bob Marley?
There's Bob Marley.
So Bob Marley does show up on the list when people are looking up white power haircuts.
Yeah, here's Don Draper from Mad Men. Yeah, I'm not sure. Is Safe Search on? No, it's not.
Is Safe Search ever on your computer?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Unless Poonmaster Flex turns it on.
Yeah, I'm not buying this white power haircut. I feel like this may be a situation where...
There's another black woman in the white power haircut
list. Janelle Monáe.
And by the way, you know who's below, like slightly below a bunch of black women? Ronald Reagan.
Here's the Green Power Ranger.
Now that actually... See, the Green Power Ranger has a mullet. That actually... All of these do look like they would be white power haircuts.
No, this is just long hair. Slicked back. No, I don't know what a white power haircut is. Okay, here's a white nationalist group. He looks like Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah, I'd say like he has a fairly normal haircut. There's nothing that would stand out. Then there's Tupac.
Should he be like Nazi haircut?
Tupac is also on the list of white power
haircuts.
Who's
just bald and black. Like, none of that makes any sense.
So basically you've got like...
Here's Kim Jong-un. Or Il. I don't know which one. I think
that's Un. Yep, Kim Jong-un.
I mean, and then Hitler doesn't have a very good haircut, though. Like, it looks... He had a very bizarre hairline that forced him... He was doing a side part, but his hair started in the middle of his head. It was kind of like a comb over. I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm safe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean... Everything that looks like a white power haircut is like... Then there's Anderson Cooper.
Would it be a microaggression if someone saw my haircut and then avoided me on the street? Poonmaster Flex is very frustrated because I do not understand the concept of microaggression, and not in an obtuse way where I'm being a dick. I don't get... I'm always like, is this a microaggression? And she's always like, no. But I think what I'm learning is that everything that's against me is not a microaggression, and everything against everyone else is a microaggression.
You are immune to microaggressions.
Apparently.
Well, you know, I mean, it depends because where people like you are from, you know, microaggressions don't really happen, right? Because where are you from, really?
Where am I from?
Yeah. Like, not, you know, America, but like, where are you from, really?
I don't know.
See, that's a microaggression.
What?
Yeah.
Not knowing? Because I don't know where I am from?
That's right. Not where you're from, like, in America, but, like, where's your family from?
Oh, I don't know. Europe and shit.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand how that's a microaggression. Where my family is from?
I think the idea is that some people of color get asked, like, where their family of origin is from. Like, they say, where are you from? They'll say, like, oh, I'm from San Francisco. But, like, no, but where's your family from?
Oh, and that's a microaggression?
Yeah.
Why?
I think it's because it's saying, like, somehow you have to go and trace your origin back further, whereas if you were white, you don't have to be like, so, where are you from, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I never ask that question or would think to because I do not care about the answer.
Mm.
Like if I asked where they're from and they said San Diego,
right?
I'd be like, cool. I wouldn't be like, no, no, but why are you black?
Why are you a Pacific Islander, but you live in Kentucky?
I may ask that question if they said, let's say I'm from Aspen, Colorado. I might be like, by way of where? Because I'm not white enough to live there.
Somehow, like if you're going to the motherland of whiteness.
I'm from Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, Mm-hmm. How long has your family lived there? You know, I feel like that's a warranted question.
Like, somehow, if you're a person of color and you're from Aspen or Salt Lake City.
Here's why I would say that. Because I think if I told someone that I was from Salt Lake City,
right,
they would be surprised.
Okay.
And maybe ask how I ended up in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
Or why I, you know, how I left. Like, what happened? Are your parents Mormon? And I'd be like, no. But you know what I mean. Okay. So that's an aggression then.
Yep.
Because it's implying they don't belong wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a microaggression because it's not saying like, well, you don't really belong here, but it's the subtle like, where are you from really?
Okay.
Yeah.
See. But me having a haircut is, or someone judging me by my haircut. If someone asked me, is that a white power haircut? Is that a microaggression? Ooh. They're assuming because I'm white and have a certain haircut that it's a white power haircut.
I think if they asked you if it's a white power haircut, that might cross over from a microaggression.
Into a macroaggression?
Yeah, exactly.
So my mom committed a racially profiling aggression against me last night.
Well, yes.
Interesting. So really, if someone thinks that I'm a white power person because of my haircut, they're wrong. It's because of my views on other races.
Yes, it's all of this Nazi paraphernalia you have everywhere.
Yeah, my mom got me birthday presents, mm-hmm. and one of them is a Dr. Octopus action figure.
Right.
And she was like, I'm really confused because I didn't think you'd be 33 and I'd be buying you dolls.
And did you correct her by saying it's an action figure?
Well, it's kind of a doll.
Oh, it is a Mega, so it is a doll.
Yeah, it's a highly posable doll. I think that's the closest thing I have to a white power paraphernalia. I don't have really any white power stuff. I did have a book. I don't know if I still have it on my desk at work of black dolls.
Mm.
Like dolls that were, you know, of black people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a collection of books about dolls.
Right.
Because we had a lot of weird doll books. And the Black Dolls one is obscenely racist, but then also has some pretty great dolls, such as an MC Hammer doll, and possibly my personal favorite, a Carlton from Fresh Prince doll.
A Carlton from Fresh Prince doll.
Which I feel
like...
Does it
do the dance?
It does nothing.
No, it does nothing.
I feel like that's the doll for people, for kids who liked Fresh Prince but had low self-esteem and were like, well, I don't think Will Smith will be interested in me, but maybe I could land a nice Carlton.
Do you think there's like a whole cast, like there's a complete set where you could get the whole cast
like
of the Fresh
Prince? Like an Uncle Phil doll?
Right.
I don't think he would fit in a box because he was fat.
Because I think like if you're going to buy somebody, like if you're going to buy dolls, you would buy, you know, Will Smith first. You'd buy Jazzy Jeff second.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd probably buy, like, you know, Uncle Phil third.
Will? There, someone made a paper doll of him.
There's an incredible amount of Fresh Prince from Bel Air fan art, which is a little strange to me.
6 printable Fresh Prince of Bel Air paper dolls. So here's a Will Smith doll.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good outfits. Here's Carlton, second choice, preppy. Uncle Phil.
Wait, does he have like a skirt?
This?
Yes.
No, these are some little shorts.
Oh, okay.
Hillary Banks. Mmm. Ashley Banks. Oh, Jeffrey.
The butler.
He comes with 2 different aprons. No, what was the wife's name?
I don't even remember. Was she replaced like midway through the series? Yeah.
I think there were 2 Vivians. Now, it turns out there's a lot of paper dolls you can get. There's a Santa. There's a...
Sexy lady?
I don't know who that... She does not have eyeballs.
A sexy homunculus?
Plain white eyes. Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, man. You could dress them up as the Sounds of Silence.
Prince Naveen of Maldonia? I don't know what that is.
That has got to be some kind of Disney movie you haven't seen. Like, maybe it's Mulan. He could be in Mulan and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah, I mean that is true of any character. Here's Prince Eric from Little Mermaid. He has exactly one outfit, which is his like pirate getup.
Seems like really not a great paper at all thing. It was like you have exactly one outfit, so you can have him put on the outfit or not.
Yeah, that's true. It's George Bush.
He's got his hands over his penis.
He does, which is, seems like a difficult way to put clothes on him. Because how do you put clothes on? Here's Thor. Now, why would you make a paper doll of Thor and have him, his default is with jeans and a t-shirt on? Wouldn't you have him be topless?
It seems like that would be the thing for the ladies.
Yeah.
That's who are mostly interested in paper dolls.
Isn't that what you want?
I mean,
is this the Punisher or something?
Dream thief.
I don't know. Here's Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson with cornrows.
There's only two rows of paper dolls on here. Who is making these? Here's Death Proof Kurt Russell, Breaking Bad, the kid with the crutches. Some other guy.
Really, they don't have a whole bunch of stuff. And also, all these accessories do not come with tabs, so you can't even like put them in people's hands.
That's true. I want to point out that this other one from Breaking Bad comes from butthorn.tumblr.com. Drive, starring Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Gosling. Really, I mostly remember Drive for the jacket.
Yeah, a scorpion jacket.
Yep.
I mean, I've even seen Drive, and I know that jacket's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so strongman. So did I think I could be a strongman before?
Right.
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think I could now if I spent the next year working really hard? Yes.
Yeah, 18 months. Yep.
Let's see, another job. So I took a job test, and one of the jobs I was like, is cosmonaut on here?
Not astronaut, cosmonaut.
Cosmonaut.
Right.
I don't think I'm qualified to be an astronaut.
You're not going to the astro, you're going to the cosmos.
Well, and I feel like cosmonaut is the Russian version, and they seem to play a little fast and looser.
There's a whole bunch of stuff about how, like, on the International Space Station,
yeah,
they always manage to smuggle booze.
Yes.
Like a very precisely weighed, you know, spacecraft where everything is weighed very carefully.
Yes.
Somehow there's always booze.
Yes. There were some pretty entertaining tales of Russian spacemen in Mary Roach's Packing for Mars. So, cosmonaut, that would be another one. So, could I do that in the next year? You know what I mean? I could start. I could try. I could basically call Elon Musk and be like, hey, man, shoot me into space.
Well, to really be a cosmonaut, again, you have to smuggle booze into space.
That's fine.
So you have to basically you have to simultaneously train to be able to go into space and smuggle booze into places.
So it'd be like Rocky, but I'll have like liquor bottles strapped to my thighs.
Right.
So as really I'm running up the mountain.
What you have to do is you have to start training by like sneaking booze into progressively harder places.
Okay.
Yeah. So like you have to sort of start off with something small.
And then like, just like take it to work.
Right. Like you take it to work, you smuggle in the booze.
Yeah.
Then you sort of move up to, I think like the intermediate range is like a bar.
Yeah.
Like where basically you've poured your own booze and no one realizes it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then like a concert where they pat me down.
A concert where they pat you down.
Okay.
The advanced version is on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not in your check bag. Like you get it onto a plane.
I think if I could smuggle it onto a plane, I could smuggle it onto a spaceship.
Yep.
I feel like getting on the spaceship, you know, if they were starting to pat me down, I'd be like, what the fuck? I am an astronaut, sir.
I am a cosmonaut.
Yeah.
I mean, astronaut. Astronaut.
Whichever one.
Cosmonauts don't smoke, you know, astronauts don't smuggle booze. I don't know.
Whichever one's more trustworthy. That's right. What I am. So those were a couple jobs. Okay, those are jobs that were sort of out of my league.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not sort of, completely out of my league.
Right.
For many reasons. Professional experience, field of expertise, just generally.
Let me throw out some jobs that maybe you could have.
Okay.
So let's go with like background dancer for Beyonce.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
You still think that's out of reach? Not that you don't want it. You think you could do it now.
Here's the thing though, is like, I feel like being a background for Beyonce would be the worst job for me because I
That's
feel like
true.
The only person in the country who does not enjoy Beyonce.
See, I think that would actually be the perfect thing if you don't really enjoy Beyonce, in a way. Like, if she was on tour. Because you get to see a whole bunch of places, right?
Yeah.
If you, let's say you're not like a background dancer who has to do a bunch of athletic stuff, but imagine you to come out and like sway and come out, and then you like walk, you know, go off stage all of a sudden. So really, you get to tour around the world, but you're on stage for like 3 minutes.
Okay. So why?
You're sitting around for three, like basically you sit around all evening in a costume, in a weird costume.
Oh.
Go out for 3 minutes, but then you're in another country.
Or so maybe I'm like a Katy Perry shark costume.
Exactly. You are
kind of thing.
You're not even left shark because everyone remembers left shark. You're a right shark.
Right.
Right shark is completely forgettable.
Okay.
So you get to like tour the world.
Well, yes, I would definitely do that.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, they're like, hey, do you want to work 30 seconds every night?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Well, it's really, you have to work like 8 minutes or like you have to get into that whatever tight leather outfit is involved.
Okay. So now I'm in a tight leather. I mean, I can't be in a banana suit or something. Like,
it'll involve a lot of Vaseline. Yeah.
Less appealing. Less appealing.
Less appealing for you. But for Poon Master Flex, your skin would be so smooth.
Yeah. Can't they just spray me with like
you
a
would have
paint?
So much Vaseline, your balls would be unwrinkled. Yeah, think about that.
I don't know if that's a plus.
You'd have perfectly smooth balls.
When I hear about that, I just think about this thing. When the internet was young,
okay.
And you couldn't just search these things. You know how, like, once in a while you'd go to someone's house and they would just show you something on the internet, and you would be like, what the fuck? I went to this guy's house once, and he showed me this guy had a website. He was called the Hydro Man, and he would basically, like, inject saline into his balls. And make his ball sack enormous, like a basketball. And then he'd be like, and then I remember reading it. He was very scientific. He'd be like saying how many cc's of fluid he inserted in. And then he was saying it, his ball sack ripped along the seam. And so the fluid leaked out. And so that was as much fluid as he could fit in at that time.
So he knew exactly what his limits were.
But he was slowly stretching out his balls over time.
I'd like to think that he was like he got like a psych up playlist in the you know the early 90s version of that or late 90s version of that.
Let the bodies hit.
Some kind of like Korn and Drowning Pool soundtrack.
I don't remember why I started telling that story. Oh, because I'm in latex paint and my balls are smooth. That's what I think of when I think of smooth balls. Overly full balls.
Just they're way too, they've been inflated to the point where all the wrinkles are full of water.
Yes.
Maybe you could be the new giant ball guy in this new America.
You could be the new Hydro Man.
Right.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was a kind of already not interested when it was like, wait a minute, you put a needle in your balls. Like, I was pretty out.
That was your starting point to be like, you know, no, that's too far.
Yeah, if there was some way I could like, hold in a sneeze and fill my balls with fluid, then maybe. But to just, I mean, I kind of filled my balls with fluid one time. That's how I got that infection, that epididymitis. Urine shot back into my balls, and then I know almost died. Like 2 weeks later.
Well, it's a good thing you keep your balls constantly drained. Right, Poon Master Flex? Yeah, exactly.
So I guess I could be a backup dancer. I mean, if some kind of wacky dance, I suppose it's not of interest to me, so it's not high up there.
But it seems like it's possible in a new America. You're like, you know, you've got to explore opportunities.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm thinking more of like, you know, okay, I want to write a Spider-Man comic.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that seems impossible. But then I'm like, maybe it's not. Like, am I less qualified to do that than Donald Trump is to be president? Absolutely not.
Well, can you write?
Yes.
Can you write in letters?
Yes.
Can you write? Do you know anything about Spider-Man?
I know quite a bit.
See, I'm not so sure. I'm a little skeptical of that.
Yeah.
Because the Amazing Spider-Cast or Amazing Webcast has not had an episode for a little while.
I know, like 6 months.
Yeah, so I mean, I know you've been on a hiatus with that one.
I have.
With your various projects.
I struggled. I have one ready to go, though.
Okay.
Enter the Scorpion.
I mean, because you got a lot of amazing, the goal was to like preview every or review every Amazing Spider-Man comic.
I think I'm up to like 7.
The depressing part is like basically there are like 6 comics that have come out since you've been on a hiatus.
Yeah, good
so
point.
So you're really getting behind.
I'm getting further behind.
Yeah.
I really need to do it, because if you did it by the week, eventually you'd catch up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I did one a week, it would only take about 40 years or something. So wait, I'd get 52 done in a year.
Right.
I think there's like probably 800 something, 900. Let's call it 1,000,
mm-hmm.
just to call it even. So it'd take me like 10 years, and then there'd be more happening at the time. So it would take about 15 years if mm-hmm. I did it once a week
mm-hmm.
to get through all of the issues of The Amazing Spider-Man.
So really what you need to do is like just get like the, you know, the omnibus thing.
Well, I
get through that.
Yeah.
Review it all at once.
No, but that's not the same.
Mm.
It just doesn't have the same, you know, wonderfulness.
The same wonder.
Yeah.
That you've managed to put off for 6 months.
Yes. Yep. The sense of wonder I've put off for the last 6 months.
Yep.
But here's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Have I gone way too long without doing it? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Am I still in this version of reality based on what I learned in the election? A total expert who's highly motivated.
Yep.
Yes, I am.
So what you've learned is not only could you write a Spider-Man comic,
mm-hmm.
but it'd be possible for you to do a podcast
mm-hmm.
where you reviewed every single Spider-Man.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That is not outside of my reach mm-hmm. in any fashion.
Nope.
There was some job we were talking about like last night that here's a job I was thinking of. While everyone else was flooding the Canada immigration sites, because
mm-hmm.
you're all a bunch of quitters, I flooded the Secret Service website, because I was like, you know...
You flooded the Secret Service website by yourself.
Yeah, as a party of one.
Uh-huh.
Army of one, if you will.
A Secret Service of one.
Yeah, it's all he needs.
Mm-hmm.
If you got the right one, one is all you need. So, because I was like, you know, maybe it's time to be a little opportunistic about this
mm-hmm.
and say, where is there likely to be a vacancy? I have a feeling that the Secret Service will probably have some vacancies, either because people quit because they don't like him, or someone may get killed in
right.
some kind of a crossfire. So I started looking at Secret Service jobs, because I was like, why not me?
Well, let's start with some basic qualifications.
Okay.
All right. Do you look good in a dark suit with glasses?
Yes.
All right. Can you dive in slow motion?
Yes.
Can you give us your no?
Yes.
Give us your no.
I can't do it in here because I can't yell.
Mm.
But I sang some karaoke that cashed my voice out for 2 days.
Can you do your no both in regular speed and slow speed?
Yes.
All right.
I can drag it out to last the length of a dive until I hit the ground, but then the wind would probably get knocked out of me.
All right. And even though this is a visual thing, what I need you to do is like say something into the microphone,
uh-huh.
but with your hand on your ear, like you're talking into a headpiece.
Oh, like I'm convincing. Like,
right.
The bottle cap has exited the chicken coop.
Exactly. And now the last question is, we're going to go through some presidents.
Okay.
And you're going to give us their code name.
Okay.
All right. Now you can't use Eagle.
Okay.
Or America.
Okay.
Or the package.
Okay.
All right.
I'm ready.
Okay. So we're going to start off with an easy one.
Okay.
Barack Obama. What's his code name?
The Big Rod.
Big Rod. All right. Racist, but all right.
That's all not right. racist.
Reagan.
The Hot Rod.
Millard Fillmore.
The Crooked Shaft.
Ulysses S. Grant.
The Old Herpster.
Thomas Jefferson.
Old Hickory.
Andrew Jackson.
New Hickory.
Even though he was Old Hickory.
What's old is new again.
All right. George W. Bush.
Dr. Schlangenstein.
That seems a little long.
All right.
It kind of, you know, and also partial credit because his father was Dr. Schlong.
too long. Okay. Just balls.
Just balls?
Yeah.
Balls has left the building. See, that's the balls. Best one you've come up with so far. Like, balls has left.
Yeah.
Like, why did he do the things he did? Balls.
Balls.
Yeah.
The balls are in your court.
How did he come through with his decision? Balls. All right, so the last one for this interview in particular, Donald J. Trump.
Oh, man, what would I call him? Lips manless.
Also, somehow longer than anything you've come up with so far.
Well.
Lips manless has left the building.
Yeah. Done and done.
Mm-hmm.
See, I came up with some, I mean, that's on the fly.
That's true.
And only 75% were penis related. So I think that's pretty good for me.
Well, really, lips manless is kind of a penis joke.
Yeah, I think so.
In some way.
I think so. So I'm giving myself full credit for those.
Yep. So really what we have to test is your slow motion no.
Mm-hmm.
Can you dive in slow motion?
I mean,
I feel like more like an extra credit for a qualification.
Dive and have it be captured in slow motion?
No, you have to actually dive in slow motion.
Can I defy the law of gravity?
Well, only if you're battling somebody who can also defy the law of gravity.
Then yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if someone's changing gravity for everyone, then sure.
Well,
if I'm being incepted.
You're fighting Gravity Man from Mega Man 5.
Then almost certainly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how would you feel against protecting the president from various Mega Man robot masters?
Depends on which ones.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Metal Man.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Because he shoots out buzzsaw blades.
But he's also pretty weak. So if you could shoot him a couple times.
I think if I got hit with one man-sized saw blade, I would probably pass away.
Right.
However, let's say Bubble Man,
mm-hmm.
who shoots bubbles, I think I'd be fine.
You'd manage to survive the bubbles, but
mm-hmm.
the metal blades probably. How about the miniature tornadoes?
I think I could do fine.
Leaves?
I feel like those would like tear my clothes off right. or something, but I'd be okay.
How about the leaves?
Yes. A shield made out of leaves and leaves that are sort of slowly falling to the ground,
mm-hmm.
I think I'd be fine.
How about the napalm bombs?
No.
That's a definite no.
Could not do that one.
Crystals?
Yes. You know, unless they had like healing powers of some kind.
How about a mace?
Like the club thing?
Mm-hmm.
No.
How about something that stops time?
No. Probably not.
How about if it stops time for everyone in the room? You and the assassin alike.
So we just are all frozen and then we come back to...
You wait until it runs out of power and then you just all kind of go back to normal.
Oh, then sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically it just delays whatever's going to happen. But then I'm just fighting a regular man.
Really, the test is if you did your slim, like you did your dive and no,
mm-hmm.
like right when he pulled out his flash gun.
So then I was sitting there going
right.
no for like a really long time.
Because mm-hmm. if you're like it's sort of like if you're sitting there like still lighting a cigarette or something
mm-hmm.
and like someone's already pulled a gun on the president, you've definitely failed. I don't know. Like you're, or for Peter's sake, it's like you're drinking a protein shake.
Or it's like some kind of spy cigarette.
Yeah.
This is actually a secret gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that way if the president gets shot, I'll blow smoke in the guy's face and be like, well, I've increased his risks of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Done my duty. Hey, I didn't do nothing. At least I did something to
exactly.
protect the office of the president of the United States of America.
Where are the rest of you assholes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you at, assholes?
All right, so we found some new jobs for you.
Yeah,
we
did jobs.
Talked about Thanksgiving.
I talked about something that I didn't want to talk about.
You talked about
did.
Magazines.
Yeah, talked about magazines. I'm going to play a song called Horny Intro.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, this is another song someone made me for like $5.
Hey,
it's pretty terrible, but it's horny.
Oh, me so snowman. Oh, me so snowman. Oh, me so snowman. We get some help now.
Well, thank you for coming again.
Hey, nice to be here.
It's always nice to have a guest mm-hmm. in the studio.
Yes. The helpful snow. Yeah.
Yeah, and Snowball's coming up
soon. Snow Lab.
Ooh. So keep an eye out for it. Also, December 1st.
Ooh.
If you've not claimed your clue for the Halloween episode, it's gone.
Oh.
So find it now or forever don't ask me about it.
That's right. So where can we find all of this helpful snow gear?
Gear?
And like information.
Oh, helpfulsnowman.com, I guess.
Also
the October episodes.
Also?
Twitter and Facebook, kind of.
Yeah, like follow the show. You could follow it at on Twitter at helpfulsnowman.com. You could also go to the website at helpfulsnowman.com.
Yeah. Yeah, you could go all those places.
Also a good place for you to buy various books.
Yeah, buy my books, you motherfuckers. And let me tell you something.
Right.
If you do not buy, read, and review these books, it's going to cost you dearly in the snow bowl.
Ooh.
Just putting that out there.
And I've already bought the absentee guide. To voting.
Yeah.
Absentee and third-party voters guide.
Yeah.
So you're all behind.
So there you go.
I will win.
He's got a head start on you.
Boom.
He's also read like three of the other ones because he wrote them.
Well, yes.
So Ian's got a pretty solid head start, I think.
That's right.
So, if you've yet to read the story of the Contra guys jacking each other off in a shower.
I do own Wads of Power.
And if you haven't read the Save the Arcade, my least popular title yet.
I have not read that one yet.
You're missing out.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend it. And if you want to win, you gotta read.
Ooh.
If you want to win, you gotta Kindle book buy and read.
You've got to purchase it, and there may be a trivia challenge based on it.
There will be a challenge.
Ooh.
And you will regret not doing this now.
Mm.
So get cracking if you want to win.
Get to reading, bitches.
All right. See you later.